We felt right from the get-go this morning, we felt the Holy Spirit really asking us to take our hands off the wheel. And even this morning, as Anton came to me and Divin and Madhav and a couple of guys, Adam, what are we feeling the Lord is saying? What are we feeling the Lord is doing? Because we don't want to just run, go through the motions and just run with the program. We want to follow what God is wanting us to do. We want to do what is pleasing to Him. And I just kept feeling the Holy Spirit say this morning, just take your hands off the wheel. And then I felt Him speaking to me while we were in worship about a certain story in the Bible. And then Adam came and shared that scripture about Jesus speaking to His disciples and saying, "Who do you say I am?" And the significance of that is, at this stage, Jesus was performing miracles as far and wide as you could imagine. Everyone was talking about this guy, Jesus. And some thought He was a prophet. Some thought He was Elijah reincarnated and come back to life, and some thought He was John the Baptist, and they were all attributing these various titles and characters to Jesus. And Peter looks and says, "You're Jesus, the Son of God, and your life will largely be determined and defined by who you say God is in your life. If God is just a prophet, someone that brings a bit of a good message and an encouragement and a bit of comfort, if God is your hype man, then that's all He's going to be. If God is the one you come to when you are in trying times and when you're battling and things like that, then that's all He's ever going to be. If God is the person you come to when things are going great, that is all He's ever going to be." And the challenge is this: many of us think that religion puts us in a box. It's garbage. We put God in a box with religion. We think religion comes and tells us how to live. No. Your religion comes and tells God how to live in your world. That's the problem with religion. Not what it makes you into, but what turns Him into. And ultimately, we were created in His image. And so we create this God governed and defined by man's systems and regulations. And all of a sudden, we start feeling trapped and confined and restricted because we've created our God to be confined, trapped, and restricted. And ultimately, what we worship, we become. And so this morning, I want to ask every single one of you, who do you say God is? And it can't be in this situation He is that, and in that situation He is this. God can't be some lottery ticket where when all else fails, He's going to bail me out. Because the Bible says this. It says that He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So you've got to be serving the same God when it's in and out of season. When it's good, when it's bad, when it's happy, when it's sad, for better or for worse. He is on the throne or He isn't on the throne. There is no third option. And as we sit here this morning, the reality is that we are presented with only two choices in life. Only two. There is no third choice. Either God exists or God doesn't exist. And if God doesn't exist, then what we are doing here this morning is not only an absolute waste of time, but it is insane. If He doesn't exist, then everything we do with our lives and about our lives and how we live is contrary to logic and is actually insane. But if He does exist, if there is a God who created everything with His own hands, who spoke creation into being, if there is a God that sustains all life, then surely He demands a little more. So if there isn't a God, don't come back next Sunday. But if there is a God, you can't just give Him Sunday. If you look at the created world around you and you see people from different ages, phases, stages of life, races, cultures, backgrounds, I love looking at my children, and someone must tell me that this child, intricately made with hopes and dreams and ambitions, insecurities, fears, different to every other child I've ever seen, someone must tell me that that comes from an animal. Someone must tell me this is evolution. I look at the world around me. I look at the sunset and the sunrise. I look at the most beautiful vistas. You walk out of here, and there's not an artist in the world that can come close to painting or creating something that even touches the beauty of creation. And somehow we are led to believe that the most skilled artists, the most genius creatives in the world can't create anything that compares to what our eyes see. And somehow that's by accident. You've got the most talented, gifted people in the world that spend their lives trying to capture a glimpse of what the eye can see. And yet this is by accident, by chance. Your intricacies, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your who you are, every hair on your head, by chance. So we present it with either God exists or he doesn't. And if he does exist, then surely the creator of heaven and earth, the master of the universe, the God who governs creation, the God who sits on the throne of eternity, who holds the world in his hand, surely he requires and deserves more of us than just a Wednesday and a Sunday. If God doesn't exist, run for your life, because this is insanity. But if he does exist, lay your life down, because nothing else matters in comparison. And you have to settle that in your heart and mind this morning. Your job, your workplace, your car, your house, in light of eternity, in light of forever and ever, means absolutely nothing. And yet we spend the majority of our time and energy storing up these earthly treasures that will be given to rust, will be given to moth, will be given to destruction. And yet the eternal element of our being we neglect and give and drip feed it twice a week. Twice a week. We give God lip service and give him our tenth of our time. That's the worst part. We don't only tithe our money, we tithe our lives. So your life is determined almost entirely by that question Adam asked. Who do you say I am? I thought of the story of Job, where Job, this incredible man of God, looks at God and says, who am I, God, that you even think about me? Who am I, God, that you're even mindful of me? And that is what I want to talk to us about this morning. Who do you say God is in your life? And is there evidence and proof to back that up? Because you can impress me and I can impress you, but ultimately one day we'll bring everything we have and go, God, here's my life. And he takes it and puts it in the fire to test it. And only that which is of him, only that which is in Christ, only that will survive. Last week we spoke about a spiritual inheritance, and day by day, who you say God is in your life ultimately builds that spiritual inheritance or breaks that spiritual inheritance. And so there is a little bit of a response that I want this morning, because I'm going to tell you something that you are underestimating. You are at war with God. You are fighting God in those areas you haven't surrendered. You're looking at the creator of the universe and saying, no, it's on my terms. The Bible says that the pride, actually what it does is it opposes God. And God opposes pride. And for many of us, God is determined by who he is in our lives based on our pride. You can have this, but you can't have this. My opinion, my preference, the way I want it. And I want us all, including myself, to be at such a place where it doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what I need. Ultimately, all that matters is who I say you are. And you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, deserving of absolutely everything. And me withholding nothing. And not storing up these treasures of houses and cars and money and even great memories. I often have to speak to my wife about that. I spoke to her about it last night. Beautiful woman, incredible woman of God, but sometimes she slips into wanting to build memories for our children so that they have a beautiful, exciting life. And I said, I understand the heart behind it, but it's wrong. Follow Jesus, and you're going to get those memories. Follow Jesus, you're going to get those adventures. Follow Jesus, you're going to get those moments. Because what we like to do is following Jesus' work and all of our hobbies and all of the things we enjoy, that's fun. We're working now in our quiet time. We're working now in church. And then afterwards we'll go for a meal, and that's fun. If you are not having fun following Jesus, you are not following Jesus. He wants to give you a lifetime of memories and moments that will surpass all your wildest dreams. You don't believe me. There's a book called the Bible. Start in Genesis, end in Revelation, and tell me it's boring. Tell me following Jesus is boring. Be careful what you're building. You might be with good intentions, like my wife sometimes. I can say that because she's not here this morning. Yeah, my in-laws are here, but they love me. I got my back. With the best of intentions, you might be building something that unknowingly opposes God. Unknowingly. And that might be strong, but it's okay. Because the Bible says it, not me. What you do with your life, how you live, how you conduct yourself, what you give yourself to is determined by one question. Who do you say I am? And this morning I want to talk to you about that. Because even sitting here today, what we've allowed is we've allowed the reputation of God to be ruined by religion. We've allowed the reputation of God to be seen as this disinterested, distant, angry God who only engages with us when we come hiding behind Jesus and sneak into the room and go, I'm here too. That's the reality. Religion has taught us that God is bad cop and Jesus is good cop. And only in Jesus are you able to somehow sneak in the room. But that was never God's design. That was never God's intent. And that was never God's purpose. You see, the gospel that we read is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel begins in a garden called Eden with a person called Adam, his wife called Eve, and a father with his sons and daughters. That's the gospel. That's where it begins. And we are where we are now because of a decision Adam made and because of God's reconciliation and restoration. But you can't look now and go, okay, let's try and figure out what this is meant to do based on what we see now. No, you go back to the original intention, the original plan. You look to how it started. Anyone that's ever built anything or is mechanically or engineerily minded will tell you that. What is the purpose? What was this thing designed for? And you and I, plainly and simply, and this might be the most foreign concept for you, you and I were designed for one thing and one thing only, and it's called relationship. Relationship with our Father in heaven. And we go back beyond the New Testament. We go back beyond the cross, because many of us look at the cross and that becomes the be-all and the end-all. No, the cross was the introduction back to how we first started. It says that when Jesus was on the cross, that God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself. That God was in Jesus as he hung there bleeding, dying, torn apart, laying down his life pouring out of him, moment by moment. God was in Christ in that moment. So some of your theology where God was distant and Christ is saying, where are you, God? Why have you left me? He was in him, reconciling the world you and I to himself, and Jesus was the door. The door was hanging on the cross. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. So when you see Jesus hanging on that cross, it's a doorway opening up an entrance to the Father. God was in Christ as he hung there, reconciling. To reconcile means this, to take something back to its original intention. It means to restore a relationship back to how it was supposed to be. If Griffin and I have an altercation and we go our ways and we have a fight, reconciliation is, no, we don't engage on the new terms, we engage on the original terms. So I don't come cautiously, no. I engage and restore the relationship as if that never happened. And the challenge is this. The Bible says through one man's sin, Adam, the whole world fell into condemnation. But through one man's sacrifice, Jesus, we've all now become the righteousness of God. And here is the problem. For many of us, we treat the fall of Adam as greater, more effective, and more powerful as the resurrection of Jesus. We identify more with our fallen nature and Adam than we do identify with, behold, all things are made new in our new creation in Christ. And the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And what does double-mindedness mean? It means it's the old me and the new me. I'm not fully convinced of either. But Paul writes and says this, in Christ, all things have been made new. Not some things, all things. The Bible goes on to say, I will cause all things to work together for your good. So when you bring everything, your brokenness, your hurt, your failure, your fear, your addiction, when you bring all of that to Jesus, he's not saying leave that at the door. He's saying bring it in so I can restore it for your good. I can use it ultimately for your betterment and for your testimony. So we find this couple in the true gospel, Eden. And they have everything you could imagine. The Bible says that they were created in the image of God. Do you know what that means? It means when, I was thinking about Devon earlier, it means if Devon's standing holding Ava, they look like twins. They look like twins. Because Ava's actually a reproduction of him. So she carries his likeness. How many of you look at your children, you can see your wife or you see yourself? And that is what God is saying here when he's saying, I created you in my own image. You are my son and my daughter. And when people look at you, they're going to see the Father. And that image obviously isn't a physical likeness, but it's our nature, our character, our spirit inside of us. When they look and see you in the spirit, because Paul writes this and says, when you are in Christ, we no longer look at each other according to the flesh. We look at each other according to the spirit. So when we're creating this image, it's our spirit inside of us that reflects God and looks like God. So yeah, Adam and Eve are in the garden, in the image of God. Complete dominion, complete authority, complete power. I heard a wonderful joke the other day. Obviously, a lady told it to me, and she said this. She said, God gave Adam one task, to name the animals, and the very next day he created Eve. Because Adam obviously wasn't doing a great job. Adam was like, dog one, dog two, big dog, small. Men aren't as creative. So Adam had one job, and he didn't do a very good job, and then Eve came along to help and assist, just to manage the affairs of the garden. But you have this beautiful couple, and it says that they would walk with God, that God literally would come into the garden with them every day and walk through the garden with them and be with them. And I can imagine God going, Adam, what did you call that? Adam, what is this? Because the Bible says that God wants to co-labor with us. He actually wants to bring us into a position where we work together. And there's nothing more beautiful for those parents here. When your children grow up and they're starting to actually take initiative and try things for the first time themselves. I was in the kitchen the other day. It's a shock. And my wife's been teaching my second youngest, Isaac, how to make eggs. And for every one that lands in the pan, four somehow seem like on the floor, on the counter. It's a very low strike rate. I don't have the patience for that. I'm like, let's get the strike rate up before we start experimenting. But all of a sudden I hear from the kitchen, yes! Because Isaac got an egg in the pan. When I was growing up, my parents set slightly higher standards than that. But this is good. This is a good place to start. Because we've brought him into co-laboring. We're maturing him, and we're starting to see him enjoy what he can grow into and enjoy maturity, enjoy his age. And so I can imagine God walking with Adam in this garden, and Adam's now getting used to this garden and how it works, and he's got complete dominion and authority. He's completely under his care and control. Not under God's, under Adam's care and control. It's yours. Go for it. And God, what do you call that? What tree is this? What are you and Eve going to do here? And walk. He would come daily and walk as a father would take a son's hand and walk on a journey called life. And this was the relationship. And then one day when God wasn't there, Eve was wandering around. We know the story, a snake snuck into the garden. And the snake starts to talk to Eve and engage with Eve. And this is what happens with many of us. I was chatting to a friend the other day, and he spoke about how, there's so much pressure and stress and depression. I said, yes, but you don't start there. What happens is you allow a little seed of doubt or fear, a little seed of anxiety. And before you know it, that thing has built up so much momentum. It's taken root. It's this big snowball. And before you know it, you actually are so overwhelmed, fearful and anxious, don't know what to do, where to go. But it all started with one small little thought. Am I right? You don't just wake up going, it's that. And when you stop and you look at where it started, you're like, that's, how did I get here? So Eve was engaging and speaking to the snake, and the snake is Jesus calls the devil the father of lies. So he's a master deceiver, a master manipulator, a master at trying to influence and lie and trick. And he begins to talk to Eve, and eventually, after talking to Eve a little bit, he says, why don't you eat of that tree? And Eve says, no, we can't eat of that tree. Oh, but why? Because God says so. And then he goes and says, did God really say that? And it's been the same lie that we face today. The Bible says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. The Bible says that Jesus has given us all we need and more. He says, look at the bird in the nest, I take care of that. Look at the flower in the field. And yet we know that, and yet we allow fear and anxiety creep into our hearts because we allow that voice to come in and say, did he really say that? But the reality is this, is that the devil wasn't necessarily causing them to doubt what God said. He had planted a seed of doubt in who God was, in his nature. Because he goes on to say, if you eat of this tree, you will be like God. So he's saying to them, God's actually holding out on you. God's depriving you. God's not giving you the full effect of Eden. If you eat of the seed, you will be this. And for many of us today, we love the Lord. We love Jesus. We hear in church. It's amazing. But if your career is more successful, if your kids are more well-behaved, if your marriage is better, if I have this, then I will be that. And we're still in this place called Eden, and the serpent is still lying to us and still telling us we're not the finished product when God says, I've created you in my image. You can't get more finished. And so they partake of this fruit because they felt they weren't good enough. They felt they could be more. And then, striving into the conversation where it was no longer a free gift from God, but it was now something they had to work for and earn. And in that moment, they no longer looked at themselves according to the Spirit. They no longer saw themselves in the image of God in the Spirit. They looked at themselves according to the flesh, and they saw they were naked. So Christ comes, and we see each other according to Christ in you and Christ in me. We see each other according to the Spirit. But because they've eaten of this fruit, they now saw each other according to the flesh. They saw what was wrong. They saw the weakness. They saw the lack. They saw the failure. They saw the shame, the guilt. They saw everything in the human nature because they took their eyes off of God and focused on the flesh. And for many of us, we spend our lives at war because we're focusing on what we think we don't have and what we need. We're focusing on not being enough and not being financially secure enough and not having this and not having that. And we take our eyes from the Spirit, where you are made in the perfect image of God, where Jesus himself says, you have more than enough and you shall lack no good thing. And we focus on the flesh. And all of a sudden, we become aware of our lack, our nakedness, our not being good enough. And insecurity and guilt and shame and all of these things flood ourselves because you've taken your eyes off of how God sees you and you're looking through the lens of how you think man sees you. And God would walk with him every single day. And then the one day he came and they weren't there. They weren't in the garden for the walk. And what religion has done to every single one of us, religion has told us God wasn't there, but he's always been there. It's you and I that weren't there. Religion told us that God never rocked up because you sinned. Religion told you that God's not interested in you because you're broken and because you're not good enough. Religion tells us that God has walked away. But he showed up for the walk. And he's been showing up every single day ever since. And it's you and I that haven't showed up. It's you and I that are scared and fearful. It's you and I that hide ourselves. And then thousands of years later, God had been showing up every single day for the walk. He showed up in the desert and the wilderness with the Israelites. He showed up in Egypt with Moses. He's been showing up every single day saying, I'm still here. I'm not walking away. I'm coming after you. I'm fighting for you. I'm waiting for you. And then when God wanted to make his ultimate demonstration of him showing up for the walk, he sent his son in flesh and blood and put him here on earth and said, I've not only come to interrupt the story, but I've come to rewrite it. We'd wandered so far from those walks with him in Eden that he had to send his son Jesus to lead us back to a place called reconciliation, a place called relationship, a place called I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everyone comes to the Father through me. And from Eden, we'd wandered so far. Every day, walking away more and more, as we're more aware of our nakedness, as we're more aware of our guilt and shame, every single day, walking away further and further until God says, I can't take this anymore. I have to come and save you. I have to come and lead you back. I've got to bring my shepherd son to come and bring his people back to the place of relationship, the place that religion had corrupted and stolen and tried to destroy. But it couldn't. It couldn't. It could never destroy the relationship that God created and intended, because a man called Jesus hung on a cross and cried out, "It is finished." You are no longer enemies and strangers in a foreign land. You are sons and daughters reconciled to your Father. It is finished. The wandering is finished. The being lost is finished. The brokenness is finished. It is over because Jesus became the doorway. As he spread his arms on that cross, he opened up a way to the Father and said, in me you will find new life. In me you are a new creation. In me I'm going to take you back to how it all began, and we're going to start walking in the garden again. But this time, it was even better. Instead of walking alongside God in the garden, God says, I'm going to come and make a garden in you and walk in you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to make a garden in you and walk in you. So I no longer walk beside him, I walk with him. He is in me and I am in him. We've become one. So ultimately, with the enemy intended for harm and evil, God restored and turned around and redeemed for a good beyond our understanding. So the question is this morning, who do you say he is? And I'm feeling something in the Lord of an urgency this morning, because he's saying, I want to bring you back to walking with me. I want to bring you back to relationship. I want to bring you out of hiding. It says that God came walking in the garden and he looked for Adam and Eve and he said, Adam, Eve, where are you? And they were hiding. And for many of us this morning, we're hiding from God, because we think he's angry with us. But he's saying this morning, I have rocked up. I'm here. I've come to walk with you. I am pursuing you. I'm not walking away. And God, knowing that Adam and Eve had sinned, knowing, he still came to walk with them. He still came. He never walked away. He's still not walking away, and he never will walk away. He is here today, and he's saying, do you want to know who I am? I am the one that's come to walk with you. I am the one that keeps showing up. I am the one that doesn't give up. I am the one that showed up for the walk even when you didn't want to, even when you left, even when you ran. I am the one that's been pursuing you from the beginning of time, and I still am. And so my question this morning is, who do you say God is? We started off the conversation by saying there are only two options. Either God exists or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, then everything is meaningless and empty and purposeless. Go live your life. But if he does, that means that everything has purpose, everything has meaning, everything has significance. It means that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a book full of life and truth. And that means that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. It means that the enemy came in and tried to ruin the reputation of God, because he knows if you saw him as angry, you would run. You would never come to him with your brokenness and your pain. If you saw him as angry, you would run. And many of us have been hiding from God. And for some of us this morning, we've been hiding totally from God. We have no relationship because we know God to be like that or to be like this. But I'm telling you, he is a loving, kind Father that wants nothing but relationship with you. That wants to bring you into fullness and wholeness and remind you that you were created in his image. Remind you that you are loved. Remind you that you are desired and beautiful, and that you are more than enough in everything. Who do you say he is? Because that will determine whether you come out of hiding. That will determine whether you join him for the walk. What would have happened that morning if Adam and Eve didn't hide? What would have happened that morning if they came out of the bushes and said, I'm so sorry, God, we've messed up, but I want to walk with you again. And for some of us, we've been hiding and running all our lives because we're scared that he's going to be angry. We're scared he's going to be disappointed when he finds out what we've done. When he finds out who we are, we've got to hide. But I'm telling you, every day he's showing up in your life and he's saying, I'm here and I want to walk with you. And I pray this morning that we would choose to come out of that place of hiding, come out of that place of guilt and shame. Go, God, I want to walk with you again this morning. And it might be you responding to Jesus for the first time. I've never really walked with you before, but something in me knows that what this guy is saying is true. Something in me recognizes it, and I want this. I don't know what it means, but I want it. For some of us, they're parts of our lives where shame and guilt have kept us from hiding, or kept us hiding. Who do you say I am? I'm going to tell you who he is. From personal experience, he is the one that shows up for the walk, even when you don't. He is the one that waits, even when you don't come. He is the one that pursues, even when you walk away. The Bible says it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Repentance, what it means is to turn away from the things of this world and turn to God. When we see how kind God is, how loving he is, how faithful he is, how gentle he is, how merciful he is, we don't want anything else but to turn to him and walk again. And I want to ask you this morning, don't be like Adam and Eve and stay hidden, because you will enter into a life and a cycle of trying to earn your own salvation. You'll enter into a cycle of guilt and shame and condemnation, of carrying a weight that Jesus came to take off of you. Don't stay in the bushes. Don't hide. Just peek your head out this morning and go, but he's come and he's not angry. He showed up for the walk. He's come for us and he's not angry. He's come for us and he's kind. He's come for us because he loves us and wants to heal us and redeem us and restore us and reconcile us. He's come. And this morning I'm telling you that God has come again this morning to take you by the hand and say, I want to walk with you in love and in relationship, in kindness and goodness. I just want to take a moment just to close our eyes. Just for a moment. Who do you say I am? And I want you to know who he is. He is the one that when Adam and Eve sinned, he rocked up for the walk. He didn't run away, knowing what they had done. He still came. And I almost want to ask us this morning, if this is speaking to you in your heart, if you are saying, God, shame and guilt and fear and anxiety, sin, whatever it might be, has kept me in hiding, has kept me in bondage, has kept me disconnected from you, has changed the way I look at you. But I want you to be the one that rocks up for the walk in my life today. And if there's an area in your life where you feel like, I want to come out of hiding, God, I need you to walk with me in this area. I need you to hold my hand and bring me back to the relationship that you created for us to have. If that's you this morning, I want to ask you, would you respond and come forward and say, God, I want to rock up for the walk. I want to meet you for the walk, God. I'm sorry for hiding. I'm sorry for thinking you'd be angry or disappointed. I'm sorry for thinking that you wouldn't come. If you're saying, God, I'm coming out of hiding. I'm coming out of everything the enemy's lied to me about. I want you to come stand up front here with me, please. Come. Who do you say I am? And he's shouting out, I'm the one that shows up for the walk even when you walk away. Who do you say he is this morning? Come. Father, I pray this morning that as we stand here, that you would touch hearts and minds, even people sitting down, that they would come for the walk, that they would come for the relationship, that they wouldn't hide. I'm going to ask again. That's you. Come. Don't let him show up for the walk and you're not there. Come. He's come to meet you in your dysfunction. He's come to meet you in your brokenness and your hopelessness. He's come to meet you in those areas where you feel overwhelmed, where you feel disappointed, where you feel broken. He's come to meet you in those areas. And he's saying, I've showed up for the walk. Will you come and walk with me? Come. Make that choice today. Don't wait. Come. He showed up for the walk. Will you show up too? Even now, I just know mindsets are keeping you in your chair, and I'm not going to move on because there's more of us. Come on. There's freedom here this morning. And he's simply saying, I'm waiting for you. Just show up for the walk. I want to walk with you. I don't want it to be striving. I don't want it to be your self-effort. I want to walk with you like I walked in the garden. I want to walk with you. Come. There's a beautiful walk. There's a beautiful journey that he wants to go on with you, an adventure full of freedom, full of life, full of hope, full of joy. But you can only do it if you show up for the walk. Come. Don't let another day go by, guys. Please. It says, he showed up in the garden. Knowing they had sinned, he still showed up. Knowing they had messed up, knowing they had walked away, he still showed up and said, here I am. Let's walk. Here I am. Let's walk. And for many of us this morning, religion has made us feel not good enough. I keep battling with this sin. I keep battling with this mistake. And he's saying, it doesn't matter. Come walk with me. I keep battling in my marriage. I keep battling in my finances. Doesn't matter. Come walk with me. I want to ask one more time. Don't miss this opportunity. Show up for the walk. Come. Come. Show up for the walk. Here we go. Come. Come. Let's just keep our heads bowed and just, in your heart, just say, here I am, Jesus. I want to walk with you again. Take my striving, take my pain. I'm coming out of hiding, Jesus. I want to walk with you as you intended it to be. I want to ask one more question this morning. If you are here this morning and you've never walked with Jesus, every eye closed, please. If you've never walked with Jesus and you don't even know what this means or what it looks like, but something in your heart is feeling, I need what I'm hearing. I need what I'm seeing. I've tried it all on my own strength, but I can't do it, and I need Jesus. You don't need to have all the answers, but if you're feeling in your heart this morning, I need Jesus, would you just raise your hand where you are so I can pray with you? Don't be shy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to ask one more time. There are a couple of hands that went up. If you are here this morning and you've never walked with Jesus, I want you to put your hand up because you're going to go on the most beautiful journey you could imagine. Put your hand up one more time so we can just see it there and we can come pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask some of our leaders just to gather around those guys and pray for them. I'm going to ask the guys in front, you just look at me for a moment. The moment I realized, oh man, that it wasn't him who walked away in the garden, it was us. The moment I realized he was there waiting. After we had sinned, after we had fallen, after we were broken, after we'd done everything we'd done, it was still him who rocked up. He never walked away. And I, for most of my life, believed that I was chasing a God that I was trying to get. I was chasing this God because I was bad and broken. And if I could catch him and just grab him or maybe hide behind Jesus, then maybe I could come close. And it stole years off of my life. But the moment I realized who he is, he's the one that shows up. He's the one that never walks away. He's the one where it doesn't matter what you've done or what you've said. He's every day, he's, I'm back and I'm here. Are we going to walk again? We're going to walk again. Let's just pray for a moment and close our eyes. Father, you ask us, who do we say you are? And this morning we say you are the one who shows up to walk with us. You are the one that waits even when we've walked away. You are the one that reconciles us to yourself. And you say in your word that by grace and through faith we receive salvation and not by works. So I bring every man and woman here today, myself included. And I just say, Jesus, in simple, plain English, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you in every area of my life, not just a Wednesday and not just a Sunday, not just in the good areas and the areas that I'm proud to show you. I want to hide nothing from you. I want to show you everything and know that you're still going to rock up, that you're still going to be there, that you're still waiting for me in my brokenness and my hurt and my shame. You are the one who never walks away, Jesus. And I ask everyone here, that area that you feel God is highlighting in your life, whatever it might be, where you're hiding yourself, where there's fear or anxiety, I almost want you to picture Jesus putting his hand out to you and you taking hold of that hand. And he's saying, come, my child, I love you. Walk with me, because my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Let us walk through this anxiety. Let us walk through this fear. Let us walk through this insecurity. Let us walk through the sin that you can't seem to break. But let's do it together. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting to restore you. I've been waiting to reconcile you. I've been waiting to take off this burden, to take off this heavy weight. And it's not too late. Let's walk today. Let's walk. Father, we choose to walk with you through every season, through the good, through the bad, whatever it is, we choose to trust that you are kind and faithful, and we choose to come out of hiding and to walk with you. And to walk with you. Thank you. Thank you. Who do you say I am? You're the one that keeps showing up for the walk. Think about that. You're the one that showed up. We're the ones that walked away. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to encourage all of us, and even for those of you that are sitting, that the reality is that no one here is fully free from areas in their life that they've been hiding. So even if you've stayed seated this morning, I pray that whatever area there is that the enemy is trying to keep you captive, it doesn't require big, bold moves. It doesn't require big, bold prayers. It doesn't require knowing the Bible front to back. It requires just saying, I'm showing up for the walk with you, Jesus. You lead me. You guide me. Here's my hand. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage all of us this morning. He is the one that shows up for the walk in the most desperate, dark, difficult places of your life. He shows up. But the challenge is this. He's waiting. You've got to take that step. You've got to come out of hiding. You've got to trust. You've got to have faith and go, God, I want to walk again. And I felt like disappointment was a big thing. I'm not disappointed anymore because you've shown up again. I'm not disappointed anymore. I keep falling in the same sin. I'm not disappointed anymore because you're back. I blew it. I messed everything up. I'm not disappointed anymore because you're back. And His mercies are new every morning. And I want to encourage all of us, take that step. Come out of hiding and by faith, start walking with Him again. Is that cool? Father, we thank you for this incredible time this morning. I thank you for so many of us choosing to come out of hiding and to walk with you on this beautiful journey called life, according to your plans and purposes. Thank you. Who do we say you are? We say you are the one that showed up for the walk. Amen.